Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Well, good March to y'all. Margaret, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
A little rumbly. It's been rumbly since the trip from West Lafayette. It's all it seems. A big light show, thunder, lightning, rain.
Well,
but
it sounds like you got home safe and sound. That's the big
thing. Yeah,
big
finally.
Thing, so.
Yeah, we did. Eric did a nice job, so my kudos out to Mr. Sewer.
That's right. That's what I was telling you off the air. Let them young kids with the good vision
yeah,
and reflexes.
Yeah, you got that right.
Reflexes.
He's got more eligibility left than me. He's got those reflexes.
He does. And listened to you guys last night on the airwaves for a little bit. The reflex Indiana had after their first victory in some time, Joe, was to come out and dig themselves an early hole. They battled back, took a, what was it, 17-14 point lead there in the first half and looked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, their only lead.
Looked up for the fight, and Purdue, bigger, stronger, faster, senior night,
yep.
And they're going to win the Big Ten championship for a reason. They don't pass those out on popularity points. You've got to win basketball games. You saw the first edition of Purdue here. Just, again, a gritty, battling type team. And then you kind of saw the offensive Purdue a little bit last night. But, again, it all went through the paint. That's what Indiana wants to do. Purdue just a little bit better at it. Give us the recap from last night.
Well, I thought I had sat through a Tuesday night, a road stop, an outcome, a nightmare last week to suit me at Iowa, maybe to chalk up as bad experience. But in this slumping season of what-ifs, a recurring nightmare reared its ugly head for a second week in a row. A 16th-ranked Purdue clenched at least a share of its 23rd Big Ten title Tuesday night at sold-out Mackey Arena in West Lafayette, as the Hoosiers fell to 6-11 in the league, losing 86-75 after getting outscored by 23 at the free throw line last Tuesday night out in Iowa City and losing in overtime to the Hawks. The Boilers outscored Indiana by 15, shooting 80% in the second half, hitting 20 of 25 to snuff out any chance the Hoosiers had of possibly putting the wild post-game celebration on hold. At night's end, the Hoosiers lack certainly the manpower with both big men, Deron Davis and Thomas Bryant, fouled out to get this one into a possible winning situation, as a total of 34 fouls were called in the second half alone. 19 whistled against the Hoosiers, who didn't even attempt its first free throw in this physical game until the 11:02 mark of the second half. And what was, at the time, a very close, competitive 57-51 game. Purdue reached the double bonus at the 9:55 mark, and from that point on, hit 14 of 19, shooting 2 every time the whistle blew. And while the Hoosiers, again, like last week at Iowa, like the trip to Wisconsin on February the 5th, hit a winnable percentage from the line themselves, but it wasn't enough. Purdue hit 28 of 33 for the game, and as I mentioned, outscored Indiana by 15 on this night when Indiana scored 30 points in the paint, out-rebounded the Boilers 39-25, had 15 more second-chance points, and lost by 11. As Coach Tom, eyeballing the final stat sheet in our post-game conversation, told us, viewing the stats that I just mentioned, he was left bewildered, lamenting the thought of just trying to, get the same call at the other end of the floor. Wasn't to be. That comment, bewildered, kind of fits nicely into what hasn't happened in this bewildered season and stretch now where Indiana's dropped 8 of its last 10. But to use Tom's words, it is what it is and isn't any good. 16-14 headed into yet another Seniors Day setting to wrap up the regular season at Ohio State Saturday at noon. The Hoosiers, who again for the umpteenth time this year gave away 14 first-half points off 11 turnovers to help the Boilers to a 15-point first-half lead, to its credit closed the first half on a 7-0 run to cut the margin to 8 at 40-32 and did not give Purdue another point in that column the rest of the night. But the free-throw disparity too much to overcome. At least there won't be any more Tuesday night road nightmares to experience this season. Boilers win it 86-75, clinch at least a share of the Big Ten crown. Well, another postseason grinder, and we've had that with Columbus North all season long, even toss in that win at Noblesville in the holiday tournament after Christmas, a three-bagger for the Panthers, who post number 20 in a grinder last night. Jerry and John doing a nice job on the airwaves, 46-42. Panthers win it. They are now 20-4 and will face the North Cougars on Friday night in the semifinals. They beat the Cougars on the homes court in January, 44-38. Josh Hall, again, like he did against Northview on seniors night, had 9 points, 9 of his 19 in the first quarter. South not shooting the ball well, hit 375 from the field. They were out-rebounded by 18, but they stole the ball 11 times and had only 3 turnovers to equal things there and to put them in front at the end. Chance Coyle seeing to that, sealing the victory with a couple of free throws in the final 7 seconds. He had 16 points. He and Hall combined for 35 of the 46. So that means that Shelbyville, who beat Columbus East 64-47, will play East Central at 6 and then North and South. Chalk Talk at 7 with both the coaches, and John and Terry will describe the action at 7:30, 7:45, around there. It'll be a rematch of last year's semifinal over in St. Leon, if you recall. And remember how closely contested that game was. It was 40-37, Bloomington South prevailing en route to a sectional championship. Meanwhile, out at Edgewood, firing began last night. Sullivan, as expected, beat Brown County 55-39, but Owen Valley upset West Vigo in overtime 45-44. So Friday night semifinal card is all set out at the Corral at 6 o'clock. Sullivan against J.B. Neal's Edgewood Mustangs. Sullivan beat them in Sullivan in overtime back in December, and Northview will take on Owen Valley. And again, like at Bloomington North, the winners from the semifinal Fridays will come back and play for the titles at 7:30. On Saturday night.
And we'll have Saturday night action for you since the two city teams meet.
Yeah. Guaranteed another night of Hoosier hysteria.
And it, yes, it was a little hysterical last night, but South's formula, Joe, is pretty solid. Coyle and Hall going to take you where you need to go about every night. It's just if that supporting cast can chuck in a few buckets here or there or pick the pocket and get those 11 steals. But obviously the big matchup with South and North coming up on Friday, and that'll be an exciting one as well. As for the Hoosiers, Joe, if you tell me it's happening, the free throw disparity every single game, well, that seems to be a pattern or a trend. So you either got to quit fouling or you got to do something differently. Well, if it's every game, it's happening every game.
I know it's part of the game. I know it is in part of the game. But, you know,
Matt Painter said in his press conference last night, hey, we went to Michigan on the weekend, got our doors blown off. We shot 8 free throws. I you know, it happens.
Yeah.
It's part of life in the road in the Big Ten. And teams that find a way to win on the road, like Indiana did last year. What was Indiana on the road last year, Joe? They were 8-0 at home. They didn't 6-3 on the or 5-3 on the road.
I mean 6-3, I think.
Yeah, 6-3. Yeah, because they had 15-3 to win the league.
Yeah,
that's how you win. You find a way to do those things. So that's what's tough for the Hoosiers right now. They're just not getting the breaks. But Joe, you can't have 3 fouls in 45 seconds. You can't have you can't try to block a shot with 4 fouls. There's just some of those things that continue to go on that drives fans crazy.
Glass is the same thing we've been talking about. I mean, like I said, we could maybe edit the Wisconsin morning after and put it in.
Yeah,
today,
just switch
you know?
It, right?
I mean, they're the same recurring stuff, but there are some interesting numbers relevant to free throw shooting on Tuesday nights on the road. We'll look at that next hour.
Good, some good bench play. You need some of these guys, but
yeah,
again,
I mean, you look at the Indiana's bench had 26 points last night, shot a respectable percentage in that zany atmosphere. Again, struggled from behind the line. What were we, 8 of 24?
Every night we're 8 of 24, Joe. We were 8 of 24
in that first
ball game,
8 of 22 last night. But
8 of 24 against Northwestern at home on Saturday. It's just it's not. It's the same night. It's Groundhog Day. And now we're in March, so hopefully things can change for the Hoosiers.
Well, only one way to go, and that's up, my friend.
Amen. We'll get more into it at 8:45.
All righty.
Joe Smith time, the morning after Hoosier Hoops. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
I'm not bad. How are you guys doing?
Good. Margaret has left us. She had an appointment to go to this morning. So we've got all the balls in there. Hey, that's right. Let's go. Big night on the high school hoops last night, which gives us a big high school weekend. We'll get to that momentarily. Rivalry game, second time Hoosiers and Boilers together this year. The fight's there. No one's questioning Indiana's fight, Joe, but some of the haunting issues that have followed this team from 2017 are still with us. Indiana needs to win on the road at Ohio State to have a chance to avoid playing on Wednesday next week. That's even brutal to say. You saw some bright performances at times from some young players that you might not have expected it, but when you don't have your big three or four firing all together on the road against the best team in the Big Ten, you're not going to win.
Well, you're not.
That's what it is. You can't have one or two guys have nights off, and that's what Indiana struggled with. That consistency has really hurt the Hoosiers this year.
Well, you know, part of my cleanup today from last night is to take out all of the black and gold confetti out of my bag that rained down on the Katy court at Mackey Arena, which was sold out, a wild celebration ensuing. On seniors' night for the Boilermakers, clinching at least a share of its 23rd Big Ten title, which passes IU, by the way, by one in overall titles won. Purdue completing its sweep regular season of the Hoosiers, winning 86-75, playing Papa Shot from the free throw line, canning 28 on the night, outscoring the Hoosiers by 15, leaving Indiana now a couple of days before heading out of the door of Cook Hall and back on the road into yet another Seniors' Day atmosphere at the Schottenstein Center at Ohio State Saturday at noon, where the two will play for a 10th seed in the upcoming Big Ten tournament next week in Washington, D.C. Indiana wins. They would avoid playing on Wednesday night and have a night matchup next Thursday with the 7th seed. Indiana owns the tiebreak right now with Penn State, who lost in the final seconds to Ohio State last night. Nebraska, they don't. They don't own the tiebreak. Remember what happened on December the 28th. But the Huskers do have a road date at Minnesota tomorrow and then close at home Saturday against Michigan, donning final two, to say the least, for the Huskers. But a win Saturday for Indiana means the Hoosiers won't have to play 5 in 5 days if they were to possibly reach title Sunday in the nation's capital on March the 12th. That's what's up and what's at stake on Saturday. Foul trouble bugaboo reared its ugly head again last night on the road. Indiana lost both Deron Davis and Thomas Bryant in the second half, two fouls, a half in which the Hoosiers were whistled for 19 of the 34 total fouls that were called. Purdue hit the double bonus at the 9:55 mark. In this one, Indiana didn't even attempt its first free throw until 2 minutes earlier at the 11-minute mark. And, of course, the Boilers, as the game progressed, made the Hoosiers pay dearly as they were hitting and shooting two the rest of the night. You know, I talked earlier today of these recurring road nightmares on Tuesday night, starting as early as February 5th at Wisconsin, continuing, as you know, last week at Iowa in that overtime loss, and of course last night, all of them, as I say, Tuesday nights. But going inside some interesting numbers, those three teams combined hit 90 of 111 free throws, whistled for 58 total fouls. The Hoosiers, on the other hand, have sinned to the tune of 85 infractions and have shot 40 of 48. That's 83%. Good enough to win some games, but have been outscored collectively by those three by 50 points. 50. Coach Tom, and the word that he used, bewildered, in his post-game chat with us last night, was just surveying the Purdue numbers from the game just played. Well, bewildered or not, adjustments somewhere along the line need to be had here, as the Hoosiers do have something to play for and salvage Saturday at Ohio State before they head to the nation's capital. That one on ESPN Saturday at the noon hour. Again, as we mentioned earlier this morning, the Hoosiers, who for the I don't know how many times it's been, gave away points in the opening half, had 11 turnovers, gave the Boilers 14-2. I think it was 14-2, the difference in the TO points off of turnovers at the half. But Indiana scrambled back, down 15. They closed on a 7-0 run. They cut it to 8 at half and did not give Purdue another point in that category the rest of the night. But again, the free throw disparity, too much to overcome as the Boilermakers use it. with their muscle and use it with their free throw shooting to win at 86-75. They close at Northwestern. A win there clinches an outright title. Well, as we mentioned earlier, we are guaranteed now a Saturday night championship game on the McKinney court as North and South. One of them will move in to play a title against either Shelbyville or East Central on Saturday night. Now, who will it be? Well, the Panthers grind out another tough one as they knocked off Columbus North for a third time this year. Beat them last night 46-42. Chance Coyle and Josh Hall combined for 35 of the 46 points. Coyle ending it with a couple of free throws to seal things in the final 7 seconds. And Josh got off to another great start, as he has been doing this over the course of the last few games. He scored 9 of his 19 in the first quarter. And South survived a poor shooting night, 37%. But they had 11 steals and turned the ball over only 3 times to win number 20 on the campaign. Shelbyville, by the way, beat Columbus East by 17 last night. They'll play East Central Friday night at 6, and then the meeting between the two city schools will have chalk talk with both coaches at 7 o'clock. By the way, the first game was played on that first Friday in January, and South had the home court and ground out that game 44-38. They also grounded out a 40-37 the semifinal sectional win at St. Leon, if you'll remember, nearly a year ago when they won that ball game 40-37. So we'll see how things go this way on Friday night. John Callahan, Terry Stolz again with the action. Meanwhile, J.B. Neal's Edgewood Mustangs swing into action as they will take on a ball club in the Golden Eagles of Sullivan, or Golden Arrows of Sullivan, as the Arrows knocked off Brown County last night 55-39. They beat Edgewood, Sullivan did, in overtime in Sullivan back in December. Northview will play Owen Valley. The Patriots, a nice overtime upset win of West Vigo last night in the Corral, 45-44. So, semifinal Friday ahead. The IU women of Terry Moore, well, will they play Purdue? It could very well be their first game Thursday at 2:30 in the opening round, or the quarterfinal round, of the Big Ten tournament at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. So we'll have more on that, and obviously more on the big North-South matchup as we move through the week.
And a busy one it shall be, and we're not even halfway through it yet, Joe. Great effort. We know you've been super busy. We know it's going to continue. And we'll try to hold down the fort here as you grab some frequent flyer driving miles, I guess we would call those, with your co-pilot there, Mr. Soar.
Safe Eric, Eric did a great job last night.
He always does. And a great job behind the wheel, too.
Huh?
Great job behind the wheel, too.
That's what I mean.
That's
right?
Well,
he always
both,
does a great job on the air. I take that for granted sometimes, but I got to
give
my kudos.
You three guys have to sit through all that, sitting near T13 or T12 or whatever we are in the Big Ten on March 1st.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me. Dave and Glass, that's me in the zone tonight. We'll have our thoughts on what's happening with Indiana basketball. It's not an effort problem, that's for sure, Joe. It's just why we're repeating the same errors over and over again. I don't know. I'll have to think about that when I rewatch the film today. Have a fantastic Wednesday, and we'll hear from you Friday morning before you head to Columbus.
1st of March and the sun is out, Glass.
Not
it's
bad.
A good day.
A little windy today. We'll be
all right.
Though. See you, buddy. Appreciate it. Joe Smith, 7:45, 8:45 the morning after Hoosier Hoops.